This morning's first public reading came from Psalm number 92. This particular psalm here on my particular edition of the King James says, "The prophet exhorts to praise God, a psalm or a song for the Sabbath day. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto his name, O Most High, to show forth thy loving kindnesses in the morning and thy faithfulness every night." There are those today, individual Christians, some denominations, that go around advocating that the Old Testament is no longer relevant for Christians under the New Covenant. Well, beloved, that's very dangerous. First off, without the Old Testament, you would not have a New Testament. Without the Old Testament, the life of Jesus, his ministry, and the lives of the apostles who came after would make no sense. So we need to do away with that. Because when you look at verse 1, "It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High." So is singing hymns and psalms and offering thanks to God, that is no longer something that we do under the New Covenant? I don't think so. I think that's some very poor interpretation. "It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High. And then to show forth thy loving kindnesses in the morning and thy faithfulness every night." Well, isn't God good both day and night, 24/7, 365, 24/7, 365 days out of a year? So I think it's foolish to say that the Old Testament is no longer relevant. But the thing I want to really emphasize is verses 12 to 15. It says, "The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree." Now, the word righteous here is referring to someone who is truly united to God by Christ. Whether it's an Old Testament saint, New Testament saint that we read about in the New Testament scriptures, or a current present-day saint. We're talking about someone who has been regenerated by the Spirit, called by the Spirit, wooed and drawn to Christ by the Spirit in conjunction with the preaching of the Word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, Romans 10:17. We're talking about a saved person, someone who is in a right relationship, in a right footing and standing with God the Father, based on the merits of Christ and him alone. "The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree." When you read Psalms 1, verses 1 to 3, even there God uses the illustration of a tree planted by the rivers of water that will bear its fruit in its season. The Bible uses many symbols to represent a Christian. Sometimes we are represented in Ephesians 6 as a soldier going off to battle. In other verses, we are likened to a wrestler or to a boxer or to a runner in the Olympic Games, even back then, as it is today. Here we are likened to trees. Okay, you can either be a good tree or a bad tree. You can either give forth good fruit, or you can give forth a piece of fruit that can't be used for anything, let alone even being fed to pigs. "The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon." Now, these cedars of Lebanon were very strong, sturdy, and stout. These trees were excessively tall, and the wood was highly prized for making whatever, durable, could last forever. "Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God." Planted in the house of the Lord. Well, who's doing the planting? We don't plant ourselves. A seed doesn't plant itself. It has to be aided by the use of a person or a bird or by the wind. Wind blowing carries a seed, places it where it belongs, and then it sprouts and grows. We're talking about divine election, chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. We are the planting of the Lord. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. Now comes the kicker, or the clincher. Verse 14. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing. You know, sometimes as we grow older, it may be due to the limitations of our body, illnesses, aches and pains, falls, bumps, bruises, surgeries. Eventually, beloved, the body breaks down. I understand that. But that aside, even in our old age, I think that our faith ought to be still as vibrant and fresh and real as it was when the Lord saved us, maybe at an early age. We should still be bearing fruit, 30-fold, 60, or 100-fold. And then what is the main result? What is the application to verses 12, 13, 14? Well, you got 15. To show that the Lord is upright, he is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. Well, if we continually bear fruit, even in our old age, then we bear witness for God that he is real. That not only is God real, but that he's upright. He's holy and righteous and true. And there is no sin or unrighteousness in him. God cannot sin. It is contrary to his essence and to his being. And so, Father, I simply ask that those who hear these feeble words would look at Psalm 92, especially those verses 12 to 15, and that should become a goal in their life. If they're young right now, or maybe in middle age, or maybe if they are now senior citizens, that they can take that verses 14 and 15 to heart, and that they would do great works for God as long as God enables them and allows them with the body that they have. One thing that a person can do, if someone is old and laid up in bed and they can't get around, fine. But they can pray from their bed. They can pray from their sofa or from their couch. They can become a prayer warrior and pray for all kinds of people and organizations and movements and things that are part of God's kingdom. And so Psalm 92, it is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto his name, O Most High. Amen.